to Feminists Without Mystique, a podcast where we process politics, sex, and the unrelenting fire hose of bullshit in the news through an unapologetically feminist lens. Each week, we vent about the news, go deep on one important issue, call out terrible things happening below the top headlines in a segment called We See You, and then we'll end with something helpful.
Happy 2020.
Welcome to 2020. We were hoping for a chill 2020. No, we're going to talk about Iran this episode. Things are happening right now.
Yeah.
Spooky behaviors. But first, we're going to kind of touch quickly on some other shits that are happening because Australia's super on fire. Mm-hmm. At least 24 people have died, and it's estimated 500 million animals, including like koalas being close to extinction now and other creatures. It's a huge fucking crisis. People are like trapped.
Yeah.
It's very scary.
Very scary, very dangerous for, I mean, the entire continent. It's not really an exaggeration to say that it's just,
yeah,
like, on fire and they're in such a state of emergency. And the amount of destroyed land, I think, is at this point, like, amounts to the space of Switzerland, I think, is something that I read somewhere.
Jeez.
Really scary. Scary to see people stranded. Scary how fast something like this can spread. Mm-hmm. And it would be devastating if something like this happened, you know, in the United States. Obviously, mm-hmm. It's just really fucking scary. And global warming is here.
Yeah.
You know?
We're not waiting on it. It's happening.
It's happening.
It's happening. So if you can throw some money.
Yeah. The Harvey Weinstein case is, went to trial yesterday, and he actually got in trouble or reprimanded by the judge for using his cell phone when he wasn't supposed to.
Good.
Which is just, yeah, like, it just seems like such a classic kind of.
So entitled.
Like, yeah.
No rules apply to me.
No.
He's disgusting.
He's a piece of shit. So I hope only justice comes to him.
Yeah.
We had the award season, which is rolling along, continuing to be just as sort of tone deaf and regressive as ever.
Yeah, I have not watched the Golden Globes.
You didn't miss anything. and the BAFTAs, the like British awards just came out, and you know, no people of color in any category, no women there. You know, we're continuing to overlook like Greta Gerwig for Little Women and Lulu. Oh my gosh, what's her, Lulu Wang, I think, for The Farewell. Hot garbaggio.
Not here for it.
So, but, you know, there's really a whole lot. And then we would think that going into 2020, impeachment would be the main thing that everyone would be on everyone's minds.
Thought that was going to be big. We got some other stuff going on. So, within the last hour, it's come out that Iran launched more than a dozen missiles at two Iraqi bases that have U.S. troops there. Although latest reports, like as of a few minutes ago, say that the Iranian missiles struck areas that were not populated by Americans. Mm-hmm. And officials are saying that the U.S. is waiting until the daylight to get a full assessment of what happened. In terms of kind of responses, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps said that the attacks were hard revenge and that any country housing U.S. troops could be subject to hostile and aggressive acts. And Iran, they also threatened to attack the inside America if we respond to the missile attacks. So that's that's a little spooky. And there are also people saying we need to de-escalate. The Prime Minister of Kurdistan talked to Michael Pompeo, who is our Secretary of State, and was saying, you know, we need to de-escalate this. So, I don't know. Trump's supposed to, like, give a statement tomorrow morning, but he tweeted, all is well. Missiles launched from Iran at two military bases located in Iraq. Assessment of casualties and damages taking place now. So far, so good! Exclamation mark. We have the most powerful and well-equipped military anywhere in the world by far! Exclamation mark. I will be making a statement tomorrow morning. So he seems pretty chipper about the whole thing.
Yeah, it's pretty sociopathic. The fact that we haven't confirmed, you know, whether or not there are casualties right. from these missile attacks on U.S. bases in Iraq. And, you know, after you look at this ridiculous statement from Trump, the Iranian foreign minister, Javad Zarif, had a very measured response mm-hmm. where he said Iran took and concluded proportionate measures in self-defense under Article 51 of UN Charter targeting base from which cowardly armed attacks against our citizens and senior officials were launched. We do not seek escalation or war, but will defend ourselves against any aggression.
Yeah.
Sounds like something that like we might have said in mm-hmm. a different time.
Pretty reasonable.
Yeah. It's pretty reasonable. It's really scary to think that, you know, there's the apparently, and this is only just from podcasts this morning and trying to really understand, but the last time that we, well, I guess, okay, to back it up, what happened and what caused these missile attacks that we're talking about now? And it's sort of hard to pull away now mm-hmm. and even talk about anything else because it yeah. feels like for the first time, you know, in our lives, perhaps we're like, are we at like war in a new way?
Yeah.
I don't know. So it's feeling gross. But anyway, the U.S. assassinated one of Iran's most powerful generals, and it has caused the tension that has already existed since the longstanding tensions yeah. to skyrocket. It was a general who, a senior military commander, Soleimani, who was revered in Iran and highly respected throughout all of the Middle East. And an attack on him has actually just served to further vilify the U.S. And even though the supreme leader of Iran wasn't really popular and there was lots of unrest and disapproval of him within Iran, like this is just rallied nationalist sentiment mm-hmm. to his cause, and people who have never been out in the streets are now out calling for war against the U.S.
Yeah, it's terrifying. It's like we have, just like for some more perspective, like we have this tenuous relationship. Like we can't be like, you know, stomping around doing this kind of shit. Like back in 1979, back in the 70s. Iran's, like, the person that was U.S.-backed, their Shah was overthrown, and then that's when the country became an Islamic Republic. And then later that year, dozens of Americans were taken hostage inside the U.S. embassy in Tehran, which is the capital of Iran. And so since then, it's been kind of, it's been a little shady, you know, it's been a little tough for us to be buddies. And in 2015, it was huge when Iran agreed to the deal to limit the nuclear program in return for us lifting our super intense economic sanctions. Mm-hmm. And then Trump comes into office. He says that deal is the worst deal ever negotiated. He abandons it and reinstates the sanctions. Then later he adds secondary sanctions on countries that were still doing business with Iran. And then a bunch of shit's happened since then. There were some oil tankers that were destroyed that Trump accused Iran of being behind. They denied it. We retaliated by bombing bases associated with militia, killed 25 fighters. There's just lots of things that happened kind of leading up to this. And the general that was killed, it's actually like there were back and forth tweets with Trump where they were, you know, bickering.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as Maria said, then the strike happens and he was killed. And everyone is, you know, vowing to take revenge on us, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, in the last time, apparently, that the U.S. has just gone ahead and assassinated a military officer of another sovereign nation was in during World War II. Mm-hmm. It was General Yamamoto, and that was while we were already at war with Japan. Mm-hmm. So it is this type of action, and I don't think I realized it quite because there's so much activity and chaos going on, but that this type of action actually really is such a deliberate provocation. It's very specifically pointing to an escalation that could easily lead to, if not indicate, that we are already in a mm-hmm. war.
Right.
And when, you know, you were just talking about the 1970s and the overthrowing of the U.S.-backed Shah, that's when there were the hostages in the U.S. Embassy, if anyone remembers the 2012 movie Argo, the Ben Affleck movie.
Oh, Argo.
That was based on the CIA's plan to rescue those hostages. Mm-hmm. So we kind of already, if you've seen that movie, you can just like think back to that conflict. And I mean, it's not that we haven't really had good relations since then, but it's very scary, and it's scary to know that the people in charge are both interested in war mm-hmm. and babyish and incompetent.
Yeah. All these things. Again, no offense to babies, but...
Well, and then hearing about the whole how this decision to kill Soleimani came up, mm-hmm. I was pretty grossed out. I mean, I suppose it makes a lot of sense that, like, the generals come to Trump and they mm-hmm. they went down to Mar-a-Lago and they said, here are the options. And by the way, and this was all happening, there was the reason why we assassinated Soleimani. I mean, there have been a lot of, like, thin, stupid reasons that yeah. are not real, but... on December 27th, there was an Iranian-backed attack on an American contractor. And then what did we do? Like, I think we just, like, we bombed, I don't know, like... We sent a missile to, like, an empty base or something. Yeah. And then... there was widespread unrest at the U.S. Embassy and in Iraq, and diplomats were inside. So this is hearkening back to Benghazi, mm-hmm. When protesters attacked that embassy. I think that we throw around Benghazi a lot, but it's easy to forget what that actually was about, which was the attack of an embassy where people died. And anyway, so Trump was thinking about how he wanted to retaliate, and he came up with the killing of Soleimani. And apparently the list that the generals gave him, that was like the craziest option to mm-hmm. make one of the other ones that are more moderate seem more moderate. Because it's like, mm-hmm. well, or we could just kill a general, but obviously don't pick that. And then he picked that.
Yeah.
And so it makes me think, well, okay, why did you even offer that as an option?
That should not be on the table.
Yeah.
Trump should not be able to decide these things.
No.
It's just not. And it's hard because it's like people, like Lindsey Graham was talking about how this now bear sort of missiles on the base, that is an act of war, saying things essentially so it's like excusing anything Trump does
yeah.
from here forward. And some of the Democrats are trying to block a war with Iran by mm-hmm. using something called the War Powers Resolution. Tim Kaine, actually, you might remember, proposed a joint resolution, and Pelosi said that the House was going to act on a similar measure, I believe next week. And basically the War Powers Resolution, Congress enacted it in 1973, and it was kind of an attempt after Nixon to gain some control over decisions, war decisions. And so, like, even though Congress can declare war, and the military has kept, like, a bunch of forces deployed around the world. And presidents can just kind of... So they don't want presidents to be able to just kind of go and do whatever the fuck they want. Mm-hmm. And so it basically says that presidents can only introduce forces into hostilities, this is quoting, after Congress has authorized using force or if the nation has been attacked. Mm-hmm. which didn't happen here.
Yeah.
And another part is saying that if a president does deploy combat troops without authorization, it has to end after 60 days unless lawmakers approve it in the interim. Mm-hmm. So they're going to essentially try and, if he does, you know, put forces, more forces there, try and bring them back and try to prevent a war from happening.
Yeah,
it's a shit show.
It is. It's a shit show. And, you know, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo yesterday dismissed any. You know, this is before Iran retaliated. He said that the retaliation, any potential retaliation would be like, quote, a little noise. Mm-hmm. And the Pod Save America guys brought this up yesterday, but it gets old in terms of like a rhetorical argument, but it really bears like repeating here. Can you imagine if like Obama or Susan Rice or anyone in that administration described like retaliatory actions by like a country in which we had tense relations as a little noise? Was Benghazi a little noise?
Yeah.
Or did they spend millions and millions of dollars trying to like kill Hillary Clinton with it? Like,
it's, yeah, the hypocrisy unbelievable. Is, as always,
something to behold.
Something to behold indeed.
Ugh.
Like, and, oh, and then there's the, like, war crime, you know, threat that Trump was tweeting that if Iran strikes, this was before the attacks today, that if Iran strikes any Americans or American assets, he will have the military attack sites that are important to Iran and the Iranian culture, and that our strikes will be perhaps in a disproportionate manner. And again, so the Hague Convention, we're not in war, you're not supposed to destroy buildings dedicated to religion, art, or science, or historical monuments, unless they're being used for military purpose. So, mm-hmm. and then we went back, not Trump, but our government was like, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So we live in a time when the president has to be like
reined in
in that way. It's so, and it's just like that response is just so like out for blood and disgusting.
Yeah.
Like you just want to destroy things important to their culture in a disproportionate manner. Like,
yeah.
Wow. What a big boy you are.
Yeah.
What a big boy.
He's an ignorant bully. And yeah. Even though we've said that a million times, it just is so, it's so true. And it's so sad. It really is. Like,
it is. And it's scary. It's like, I mean, we already, I think we both like worry about, you know, gun violence in light of like white nationalists who are that make up most of the terrorists that commit crimes in our country, BT dubs.
Yeah.
And now it's, there's this, because of what we've done or what Trump has done. Now there's the extra spooky factor of more attacks on American soil.
Yeah.
And you know, it's terrifying. Like, it's just, hey, what's gonna happen?
It's really, really terrifying. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I really hope, I can't believe that I'm hoping that like Iran is gonna be like the bigger person here, you know, and like just help with de-escalating tensions.
Yeah,
I that hope used to so. Be us.
And like, what's Trump gonna say tomorrow? You know, because before that attack, he said, you know, the thing about the cultural sites and whatnot that we then backtracked on. But what's he going to say tomorrow in response to this? Like, what's he going to do?
I don't know.
Before we started recording, you were saying how it's hard. We're like in the middle of it. It's hard to talk about because like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And it feels very much that way with like this, right before we recorded, new things happening and then waiting to hear till tomorrow what the fuck he's gonna do if he doesn't just tweet in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
It is not a great time to to be in America.
No.
Definitely looked into immigrating to Canada.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
And I see a path where I could do that feasibly in like 6 months, maybe.
That's very exciting. I'm jealous.
But it's not like my plan, but it's something I want to prepare for.
Yeah.
It's like, don't want to be those lobsters in boiling water.
No. Yeah, it's very scary. I mean, they have, Yeah.
My fiance's friend has dual citizenship in Norway, I believe it is, Trump's fave. Mm. And right when Trump was elected, he and his family moved and we're just like, he's going to destroy everything. We're going to get into a war with the Middle East.
Yeah.
Like, here we are, maybe they're doing that.
Yeah. They're not wrong.
I don't know. I don't know what to do. It feels very, it's a very helpless, hopeless feeling.
It is.
I guess not hopeless, but definitely helpless.
Helpless, and it's really hard to find places. Like, I was actually trying to go into 2020 and theoretically this podcast episode, like, easing it in, feeling like, you know, okay, like, we've got to gear up because we have a huge fight for the, you know, to win the presidency, because ultimately it's all going to come down to what happens in November and who votes and making sure that everything is, like, the election systems are shored up and all that stuff. And it's just been a barrage of, like, ghoulish bullshit.
Crisis.
It's
a crisis mode. And Trump, he like, tweeted years ago that Obama was gonna start a war with Iran so he'd win re-election. And here we are. And I don't even think that was his... I don't think it was like he cooked this up to just to distract. I think he also had a personal vendetta against the general and was just, you know, trying to be a big boy.
Right.
But I also think he's down for distractions. He's always, whenever anything is ever happening with him, which is always, he's always coming up with these other things that are going on.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're not going to, you know... not going to get rid of a wartime president. Yeah, but if you're, like, so callously just starting this shit.
Yeah.
But then it's, like, on Facebook I see people who are like, let's kill the terrorists. War with Iran. It's like, can you just, like, do any research?
Yeah.
This is not a solution. There's a reason, like, not just Obama. Bush also, like, you know, avoided this.
Right. The exact option of that's been on the table for now 10 plus years has been we could kill General Soleimani. Yeah. And both Bush and Obama said no.
Yeah.
That would be too dangerous of an escalation.
Yeah.
I also hated that Lindsey Graham, like, was talking to reporters about the whole cultural, you know, bomb. Getting, you know, targeting Iranian cultural sites. And this is Lindsey Graham speaking. He said to Trump, quote, I said, we're not in a war with the culture of the Iranian people. We're in a conflict with the theology, the Ayatollah and his way of doing business. I think our goal is to side with the people. Putting cultural sites on the table as a military target undercuts what we're trying to do. And then someone asks, did Trump push back? And then Graham says, he just said, quote, we all do all kinds of bad things. And then Graham said, but I said, yeah, I don't want to be like them. But it's like, I mean, even if this is anywhere close to an interaction, and I find it very easy to believe. I mean, I'm sure Lindsey Graham didn't sound like Mr. Saintly Saint, and that he's giving him, you know.
He's a little angel.
Putting on airs there. But I do think that Trump generally thinks of things as like, well, we all do bad things. Like, and then, so let's just shit all over, like, you know.
Yeah, it really feels like he has no moral compass. Whatsoever. Yeah. Hot take. I don't think he's very morally sound. Whoa.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, too, there's lots of other kind of bad faith takes all over the news and on the internet. Like, one congressman shared a fake image of former President Obama shaking hands with Iran's President Rouhani. And then he responded by explaining he never meant for the image to be taken as factual. But he tweeted out a picture, the Photoshop picture. It's all he did was tweet out the picture and say, the world is a better place without these guys in power. It, like, looks like a real picture. Yeah. You can't just fucking do that. It's so irresponsible, and it stokes, like, fear, and it feeds that, like, fucking ridiculous sense of, well, both sides, and Obama was, you know, palling around with dictators, and it's like...
No. It's just... That's just such a frustrating thing when facts and reality aren't a part of... arguments anymore.
Yeah.
People just don't believe the truth. And you can look at unbiased sources. But then somehow those are biased, even though they're not.
Right. There's, I mean,
just don't know.
There's so much money and time that is put into trying to give you a clearer picture of just what the facts are. Like, what do we know? What we know now, like some brief background. I mean, I know that the resources of good reporters is completely stretched to the breaking point, mm-hmm. but it's, come on.
It's terrifying.
I don't know.
One thing that made me feel, I mean, it didn't really make me feel that much better, but hey, maybe it will make you guys feel better. Mm-hmm. A lot of sort of political and historical experts are like, this isn't going to start World War III because, like, countries like Russia and China are not big players here. But, I mean, I feel like China could get, they could both get involved.
Yeah.
China, I'm sure, was not down for this move.
No.
And that's, even if it's not starting World War III, that doesn't mean it's not going to lead to war with Iran, which we don't want. And it seems like it's going that direction, but I really hope something stops it or someone.
Yeah. I mean, broadly, too, just thinking about the responses that you know, in the U.S., since the killing of Soleimani, the Pentagon announced that it was suspending an anti-ISIS coalition effort. Mm-hmm. And now the 4,000 American troops in Iraq are focused on protecting American citizens in Iraq and mm-hmm. not helping to train their forces, which many have said, like, this is going to provide yet another power vacuum that ISIS could fill.
Yeah.
So cool. And then there's a new spooky travel advisory for Israel on the West Bank and Gaza. And yesterday there was this unsigned draft of a military letter stating that the U.S. would withdraw all troops, and it was circulated around, and then they had to correct and say it was an honest mistake. It was an unsigned letter. But yeah, the fact that it was a fully,
yeah, it got,
like,
written,
formed letter.
It got written.
And, like, dated, I think, yesterday. But so lots of, like, rumblings in the U.S. that are gross and scary and, like, just are just not gross, but, like, they're stomach turning. Elizabeth Warren said that this moved the country closer to war, and we're not safer today than we were yesterday.
Sure are not, Elizabeth.
Buttigieg said, you know, Soleimani was a bad figure. We shouldn't shed a tear for his death, but just because he deserved it doesn't mean it was the right strategic move. And Biden said Trump just put a stick of dynamite into a tinderbox. And Bernie said Trump promised to end the endless war and puts us on a path to yet another, potentially even worse than before. Mm-hmm. So that's like some of the top, what the top Dems are saying.
All good points. I mean, Pete's a little, you know, pandery.
That was a pander.
That's a little pandery.
Yeah.
But are we surprised?
That was Mr. I want all the, like, moderate
I want it
folks
in Iowa.
In Iowa. Yeah.
We see you.
We fucking see you.
But, yeah, I mean, everything very reasonable, everybody. Also, very sidebar, super glad to hear that Castro endorsed Warren.
Yeah, that was good.
It's a nice little thing. Anyway, I ran.
Well, in Iran specifically, also, we've talked about how it ramped up. The killing of Soleimani ramped up anti-American sentiment, but, you know, obviously there are huge protests, American flags being burned. There were, like, it's hard to estimate how many people came out for Soleimani's funeral yesterday, but some people are actually putting it, like, in the millions in Tehran.
Yeah, and the pictures are...
Pictures and the audio coming out of there. The Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, when he was speaking, he teared up and was crying, and then you can hear, like, the crowd loudly crying. Yeah. It's scary. Like, 54 people so far died in a stampede that happened, like, in Tehran yesterday around the funeral. Leaders in Iran have openly said about retaliation, quote, the only thing that can end this period of war is for Americans to receive a blow that is equal to a blow they have inflicted. That is pretty chilling. That's like, I mean, that means they're going to try to hit someone, I think. Trump, of course, responded, you know, in the moderate way that he normally would, where he said, if they hit back, we will hit them harder than they've ever been hit before. But super scary. And thinking about who Soleimani was, apparently what seems to keep coming up from the interviews with people on the ground, like who weren't even fans of his, mm-hmm. was this sense that they kept describing him as like a security blanket, an umbrella. Mm. He like, knowing he was around, people felt protected because the Middle East is so chaotic and mm-hmm. like there's so much violence and instability. And he sort of protected the Iranian people from a lot of like, because mm-hmm. they geographically Iraq and Syria and Saudi Arabia, like lots of shit happening. So, and the New York Times said basically it's probably hard for the U.S. people to like really understand this like conflict between perhaps not supporting Soleimani, but mm-hmm. like really appreciating the strong arm that he has. So
I'm not into your ideology, but I feel safe with you in charge kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But let's just cause some upheaval. Let's just go nuts.
Oh, and lastly, in Iraq, the parliament voted to expel the U.S., which is a pretty big move since we've been, like, fucking around there for a long time. Mm-hmm. And obviously they were upset because the killing was in their country. So it's like, hey, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, get out of here.
So they're not happy with us. So it's just, it's bad.
No one's happy with us. And our allies, like the UK and stuff, were like, no one told us. You need to keep, your allies should not be surprised.
Yep.
Like,
so embarrassing. And the Gang of Eight, like the congressmen, mm-hmm. senators who were supposed to be told weren't, but like mm-hmm. Lindsey Graham knew, you know?
It's very, it's very unpredictable in a very frightening way because the stakes are incredibly high for the entire world.
Also, on the U.S. front, there are some pretty troubling reports of the way Iranian Americans are being treated as they come back into the country. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Let's just, can people just be better, not be racist?
Yeah.
Xenophobic? That'd be great.
I think you're asking too much.
I'm wild requests. Ugh. So, yeah, we'll keep our eyes and ears open on this whole situation. Obviously, very curious about the speech tomorrow. I have a really hard time watching him speak. I always
Me too.
His speeches.
It's because it's hard to watch.
It's so hard to watch. So I read them so I get the information, but I don't have to just look at him. But I think I might watch it tomorrow.
Trying to, like, from a brief refresh, it at least looks like potentially. Oh, wait.
What?
A Boeing 737 aircraft carrying 180 passengers crashes in Iran.
What?
A Ukraine-bound Boeing 737 crashed shortly after takeoff. It says due to a technical issue.
It's a coincidence.
That's very spooky. Ukrainian airplane. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't know what that is.
That's an interesting coincidence, is it? I don't know.
In the wake of Trump's tweet, the things that are trending include all is well and all is not.
Yeah. All is well, like, with an exclamation mark. Dude.
Yeah.
Read the room.
Yeah.
One seemingly positive thing is that a U.S. military official said that the military did have enough of an early warning of the missile attack to sound the alarm, and people were able to get in bunkers in time. So there might be no casualties.
Thank you. That is exactly what I was trying to find, and then I got distracted by the 737.
Like, wait, what?
I knew that there was, like, Yeah.
So that's good. Hopefully there were no casualties in this. Fucking some adults on both sides can, like, squash this without any more, you know, missiles, any more bloodshed, but it, even on the, in the slim chance the countries don't engage with one another, we have stoked something.
Yeah.
And we'll have to be on the lookout for ever.
Yeah. So. Well, we'll be paying attention because we have no other choice.
All right. Nice, light, casual saunter into the new year.
Yeah, we like to keep it light, keep it snappy. Yeah.
And next week that's the debate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so next week we'll talk about that.
Andrew Yang still isn't qualified.
Donate to him if you haven't and you want his voice.
Yeah.
You know. Or hopefully Hopefully they'll, I know. We need some polls.
I'm feeling pretty, just as a brief debate update, or camp, like, whatever, Democratic debate update. I'm just feeling sad.
Yeah.
I'm feeling.
I know. Warren's kind of hit a plateau, it seems.
Yeah.
Kinda slipping a little bit. Pete's showing well in Iowa. Biden's holding pretty strong. Sanders is doing pretty well.
Yeah, and Sanders is now sort of considered the front runner, and I don't know why, but I'm just...
If we have to fucking... When 1.5 million Sanders primary supporters voted for Donald fucking Trump...
Yeah.
Who won by what? Like, it ended up coming down to like 70,000 votes in three states? Like, I just, for them, I will not, like, sink to their level. I will vote for him.
Yeah.
Fully, I will canvass. Oh, I hate canvassing. I'll do it.
Yeah.
But if they get what they want in the end.
I know.
It's just.
Your poopy baby that, behavior.
I know. That's just part of me. That is, I don't know, a little, not catty, but holding a grudge. Holding a grudge for me will be very annoyed, disappointed.
Oh, yeah. This is something I will never let go. Your inability to see the forest through the trees.
Yeah.
Your privileged, myopic perspective on the 2016 election and all of the fallout.
Yeah.
We still see you.
If those 1.5 million people voted for, like, they, privileged bros. But anyway, we digress.
Keeping it light, you know, just rolling along.
As soon as, like, it's a good day in news-wise, we'll have a light one.
Yeah.
You know, talking about butt stuff, something fun.
Wow. I almost sent some of your Bachelorette, like, I was ordering something, and it almost went to, like, my work address instead of home.
Wow, is it dick straws?
It was something that, like, would not have been, like, great.
Great to have at work.
Yeah. So, you know, now I'm like, okay, be quite very much on the alert.
I kind of wanted to come to work just for the story. Maria, can you come to my office? What are these penis-shaped? fun.
Yeah. Right. By the way, oh no, a plea to our listeners. If anyone has a place where there's just like fun, non-annoying signs instead of like, I'm thinking specifically of pop the champagne, she's changing her name, because I'm not buying that.
No.
Can we have others that are like more creative and fun?
Yeah, not like based on she's part of his life. No.
Yeah.
She's achieved it. She's marrying a man.
That one keeps coming up and I want to be like, dislike, remove, block, unsubscribe.
No.
Anyway.
I'm still me, fuckers.
Yeah.
Aggro.
Anyway, that was the diversion.
Yes. You're a great maid of honor, babe.
Validate me. Validate my friendship.
I want feminist propaganda. That's it. Fun. Well, and stupid games. All right.
Now for We See You.
I guess I'll start with a couple of mine so this one's just like weird and upsetting and people come on. So police in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania say that a Walmart employee recently found a pill bottle containing multiple bed bugs inside a boy's jacket that was for sale at the store.
Ugh.
And then another bottle of bugs was found in the men's clothing department, bed bugs. Ugh. And live bed bugs were found in the men's clothing department as well. So authorities believe that the bed bugs were left in a deliberate attempt to infest the store. And in a rare triumph in this world, the culprit failed. A pest management company checked out the store and found no evidence of an infestation. So they caught them early enough.
I mean, that's good. But do they know that? Those things can really stick around.
I know. They're awful little creatures. It was an independent company that came in. So hopefully, yes. It takes a special kind of asshole to attempt to infest countless strangers with bed bugs. Like, why?
Ugh.
Why? We live in a society and people need to behave that way. Can we not have people spreading bed bugs for no reason?
Please.
They don't need any help. They spread themselves quite well.
They do.
So We See You to Heaver was bugging out in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, no.
I did that for you.
Yeah.
Hold for laughter. had it a little fun this week.
I know.
It's a tough one.
It's, yeah.
I'm having a hard time.
It's rough. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Ugh. Well, this one's hard to get through. There's a Make Women Great Again convention.
Oh, this one.
It's happening in May, in case you want to attend, in Orlando, Florida.
Perfect.
Tickets are $2,000 a pop.
Perfect.
And will feature an all-male lineup, ready to tell women how to be ideal, ultimate housewives. Are you wet yet?
I am just soaking. Your chair, I think, is ruined. I think the wood's just too soggy.
I mean, it's obvious, but they also explicitly state that they're opposed to feminism.
What?
And
we should go.
Oh my God.
Can't
that would
that.
Be so funny. So if someone wants to send us
$4,000, go undercover.
Yeah. Okay. That would be so fun.
Go fund me now, and then it'll be public. All right, go continue.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Anyway,
so
they claim to promote all forms of positive femininity. And, like, boy, do I just, am I very interested in, like, exactly what that means to them.
I want to go.
Yeah, I do. I mean, in the pictures, like, of the men who are willingly putting their face to this look obviously awful.
Reddit incel vibes.
Yeah, Reddit incel vibes. Parents' basements for life.
Neck beards.
Wraparound sunglasses. pixelated pictures on Tinder. Mm-hmm. Their event also states, because they're so self-aware, that it will be the, quote, mansplaining event of the century. I'm not even convinced that this event is actually happening, because it seems like a right-wing fever dream from Ben Shapiro just for, like, attention and publicity, but it's not happening. But whatever. Like, Trump is president. Evangelicals, like, support Trump. All of the non-brain-using people across the country support Trump. Facts don't matter. And we're possibly at war with Iran. So, of course, there's a mansplaining convention. Of course there is.
Mm-hmm.
We see you.
God, that one really just...
grinds all the gears.
Like, anyway.
Maybe we should do a special at some point where we just sort of, like, get into it and, like, really deep dive on, like, maybe they're going to, like, stream their, you know.
I bet they're stupid. We could probably, like, interview them and pretend we're someone else.
Yeah.
I guess, is that ethical?
But we both have tattoos, and I do remember reading something about how the women... Positive femininity does not include tattoos.
Well,
so.
We're disgusting, fucking, you know, tatted up street rats. But, you know, we can hide them. I mean, yours is, I guess, on your wrist, so you'd have to wear sleeves. But mine's just on my shoulder. I can wear a modest top.
Yeah.
You know.
I could wear a watch.
Yeah.
Also, I would have to tell them that it's not... You know, it isn't a Hillary, an H, that I have on my arm.
No. It's for Huckabee.
Ew.
You just love him. Fuckabee. Gross. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. All right. As if this day wasn't bad enough.
Honestly, it's a struggle day. All right, moving on. Don Jr. Don Jr., he's so punchable, that face. Every time I see it, I'm just like,
yeah.
And I'm not a violent person. He just makes me want to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
I'm not a threat. Not going to do it. Anyway, Don Jr. So he posted a bunch of Instagram photos where he's cheesing with an assault rifle. And this rifle, it has a magazine, which is a gun thing, decorated with a, like, a rendition, a drawing of Hillary Clinton behind bars, like in jail.
Great.
As well as an image of the Jerusalem cross, which was the version of the cross used by Christians during the Crusades.
Okay.
Which is interesting timing, as that particular representation of the cross is associated with religious war against Muslims.
Very interesting timing.
And the rifle, the rifle is part of the manufacturer's Crusader line.
Mm.
So that's all, those are all things. In addition, gun experts have pointed out that in the picture where he's posing with the rifle, he has the safety off and the selector switch is on fire. And they say that the firearm safety norms discourage taking the safety off unless the weapon is pointed downrange at a target and ready to be fired, which he's not doing in the photo. Even I, who is not a gun expert or a gun expert by any means, know that you shouldn't have the safety off because that means the gun can shoot.
Yeah.
So I don't know where to start with this bullshit. The first that he's fucking promoting an image of Hillary Clinton behind bars when his father has committed so many crimes.
So many crimes.
By her emails. It's just like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
The second is using the image of the cross. Like, he's pretty stupid, so maybe he doesn't even know the particular cross that he chooses, but like... Even if somehow the Crusader line gun he's unaware of, I don't think, I'm not Jesus's representative, but I certainly don't think he'd be down for Trump Jr.'s messages.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And lastly, posing with a gun without practicing standard safety procedures is not only stupid, and like, I'm not worried about you, you know, Trump Jr., but it's dangerous. Like, maybe some kids or humans see it, and it's just, it's reckless.
Yeah.
Don Jr., we see you, you fucking sniveling bastard.
Yeah. Ew.
Gross. I'm hungry. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, he's awful. Okay. Another awful, moving from one awful man to another awful man. The director, Terry Gilliam. He has a new film coming out. It's a long delayed film called The Man Who Killed Don Quixote. And there's actually kind of what I used to think it was an interesting documentary, but now I think, fuck him. Don't give him any attention. But it was like a documentary on how this like movie is just so ill-fated and it had Johnny Depp and it was like a total disaster and they were flooded, whatever. Interesting. But this interview was, he was doing an interview that was supposed to be promoting this new film, but he spent maybe like 5% of the interview on that and the rest giving like just a barrage of offensive quotes where he was ranting about the Me Too movement and PC culture. And of course, it was as gross and out of touch and pathetic as you would expect.
Of course.
With a bunch of fun gems, such as saying that he was, quote, tired as a white male of being blamed for everything that is wrong with the world. He repeated a claim that he made a couple of years ago at, I think, like a film festival where he said, that I'll just claim that I'm a black lesbian in transition. And he, I think he said, call me. Yeah, my name is Loretta. I'm a BLT, a black lesbian in transition. That's what I'll tell the world now.
He's awful.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit. And then he also was talking about the Me Too movement as a witch hunt. And he actually decided in this moment where Weinstein is... thankfully on trial, he spoke of Weinstein's victims and said that they are, quote, adults who made choices.
Wow.
Yeah, he said, I want people to take responsibility and not just constantly point a finger at somebody else saying you've ruined my life. I really feel there were a lot of decent people or mildly irritating people who were getting, you know, getting hammered for this. That's wrong. I don't like mob mentality. Then he also reasoned in terms of like why you wouldn't assault someone. He said, quote, when you have power, you don't take responsibility for abusing others. You enjoy the power. That's the way it works in reality. It's like, I don't understand. I mean, it's a very bizarre quote. I'm definitely confused by it, but I think the gall of him as a, you know, powerful, wealthy white man to sort of decide that the ways in which people enjoy power and like, it's just, it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. And that he would think that he could speak for everyone. Gross. And just as if he hadn't already stepped in it enough, he complained about Black Panther saying it, quote, quote, it gives young black kids the idea that this is something to believe in. And it's just like, I don't really know. I don't know what's going on in his life, but obviously it's a toxic, dark cloud in there. He's gross.
So much awful.
It's a lot of white male fragility for one interview. It also includes a part where he's like pissed that, you know, Monty Python wouldn't be made the same way now and it wouldn't be made with all white men. And so he's just, the self-pitying. I just want to remind people that there's so many, like, the next time you read like a faux sincere article asking in bad faith if the Me Too movement has gone too far, to think about people like Terry Gilliam, and think about the fact that, think about the women who, like, you know, time and time again, it is shown that when women speak out against assault, the only person that suffers is that woman and her family and her career and her life. There are very few stories in which the woman is vindicated. There are very few instances where it is not the woman who completely is destroyed by having the bravery to come forward. But I do think of Terry Gilliam as, you know, that bloviating fuck at the office where you just have to kind of like deal with like this like stupid barrage of like stream of consciousness that they have about the Me Too movement. And like, it's your job to sort of absorb their dumb, like, thoughts, half-baked thoughts.
Kindly respond to them.
And kindly, politely, not lose your cool.
No.
But try to, like, offer some sort of perspective that doesn't make them feel threatened.
No, they don't hear it.
No, but anyway, so I don't have that for Terry Gilliam. I hope that the movie flops, and I'm bummed that he's dragging Don Quixote into this mess.
Come on.
We see you.
We see you. So Disney's not the happiest place. Over the past month or so, three separate Disney theme park employees have filed police reports claiming that they were abused and or sexually assaulted while inside their costumes. In one incident, the woman inside the Mickey Mouse costume at Magic Kingdom says an older woman patted the mouse head so hard it caused neck strain, like diagnosed neck strain. The police decided it was civil, not criminal. And the guest said that she was just trying to prove to her grandson that the mouse wasn't scary. Just kept hitting this woman in the head.
Oh my God.
Another woman who plays Minnie Mouse at the park says that her chest was groped by a 61-year-old man who asked for a hug. The man was a Disney Vacation Club member and was also accused of groping another cast member earlier in the same month.
Oh my God.
So he's banned from Disney theme parks, but not the Saratoga Springs Resort. So he's not even banned from all the things.
Come on, Disney.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
And the third incident happened at the Animal Kingdom restaurant, where I'm sure you can get, you know, fettuccine for $30. When a 60-year-old guest allegedly asked to kiss Donald Duck, who an 18-year-old employee was playing. He then began groping the duck costume. Ugh. And when the employee, when she moves away, the guest was chasing her.
Oh my God.
And was trying to put like their hands inside the duck costume to grope their chest. So, again, what the fuck? I feel like with like bug thing, like people. Just because a person is inside a costume doesn't mean you can assault them. It's like this, I guess, I don't know if it's like the weird Internet Anonymous same kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Why the fuck are so many people assaulting people dressed as Disney characters?
Ew.
I will not begin to attempt to psychologically analyze them, but we see you.
Yeah.
Cut that shit out.
Cut that shit.
Like, what about children around? Like, what the fuck?
Ugh.
Like, if you're a furry, go on the internet and figure it out. Don't just assault people.
Yeah.
In front of the children.
I feel like that's probably part of, like, what they enjoy.
The power of it.
Yeah.
I groped Donald Duck today. Like, okay.
And, like, like people were around and they couldn't do anything. Ooh. It's, like, part of the ew.
Yeah, gross.
Ew. We know the world. We've seen enough Law and Order SVU and
bum bum.
Yeah, that's gross. Cool.
Yeah.
We see you.
Scene.
Well, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, two children ages 12 and 13 were shot by a motorist after they threw snowballs at this person's car.
Measured response.
Yeah. Police don't have any suspects. Both kids will be okay, but... You know, and as I look directly at camera, this is the type of hazardous BS that happens when we just let any rando have a gun. A snowball is met with bullets. And Wisconsin and in Milwaukee specifically, gun deaths are the leading, gun violence is the leading cause of homicide last year. So this is just something to continue to pay attention to. These stories just... happen pretty frequently. Snowballs and bullets, pretty gross. We see you.
Yeah. How is that? Who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you that you're driving around with your gun and a snowball hits your car?
Loaded, like, at the ready.
You know what I'm going to have to do? Shoot some children.
Yeah.
That's the way to handle it. Fucking Jesus Christ.
You really, like, can we please at least attempt to... get the guns out of these people's hands.
Right, we're not trying to take everyone's guns.
No, some people can have them,
you
fine.
You can have them. I'm a vegetarian, and you can go hunting. Yeah. Live your life. Just, like, we don't need semi-automatics. We don't need everyone to have one.
We don't need it.
Like, just responsible gun owners, please. Even though I personally, don't want any guns anywhere ever, but I wouldn't ever try to legislate that.
No.
It's just my personal vibe.
Just your personal.
Go hunting, whatever. Fuck that deer.
Yeah.
You had a good thing.
Yeah, my good thing, and I'm sorry that it's not, like, a cute good thing. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, a fuck the bad guys good thing. Republican Duncan Hunter, who has been a probably a record amount of times at this point. He is finally stepping down. He pled guilty to conspiracy to misuse campaign funds last month. Go ahead and Google, like, all the things he's accused of doing. It's pretty gross. So he's going to leave Congress effective January 13th. And he was indicted last year, just as a reminder, because, like, God, it was so flagrant. Mm-hmm. He and his wife were indicted last year for diverting $250,000 in campaign funds for personal use, including, like, a vacation, children's school tuition. He's also been accused of using campaign cash to pursue different affairs, as many as six, with lobbyists and congressional aides. So let's, you know, remember that Katie Hill had to leave in, you know, disgrace after having, potentially one affair with a lobby, with not a lot of, with a congressional aide. But anyway, pretty gross. Duncan Hunter is going to be sentenced on March 17th. And it's just nice to have him the fuck out of here.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Which segue to goodbye.
Yeah. With just such disdain.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye. And then to our listeners, a more bye.
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 See you next week if you're still interested.